Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, once again, happy graduation to the class of 2020. Your official date of commencement in some cases has already come. In some cases it's today, in other cases it is yet to come in the weeks ahead. But we want to offer this Mass for all of you together, whether you're able to have some kind of small gatherings or not, perhaps virtual events. We're glad to be part of the virtual celebration of your graduation. The word commencement is used, of course, as we finish one chapter of our lives, of our educations, and we commence, we begin another, either another educational phase or a phase of service to the community in some way, shape, or form that God has arranged for us to carry out. In any case, it is a beginning. It's both an ending and a beginning. And we celebrate this in the context of this Easter season, because this is our identity. Growing in our knowledge, growing in the virtues that we are meant to acquire through education, because education is not simply learning various subjects, important as that is. I always loved my studies and wanted to do extra in that regard. But it is also a growth in virtue. Education, educere, to lead out of, in the Latin, to lead out of darkness into light, to lead out of sin into virtue, to lead out of ourselves into a greater service to others. This is all part of what education is. Education, brothers and sisters, begins in the family. The family, which is the domestic church, the first government, the first society, the first cell of society. The family is also the first school. That is the place where our lives, having been entrusted by God to the care of our parents, and God having used our parents physically to bring us into existence, they are the first ones to begin our education. So therefore, it is natural that at the conclusion of any phase of our education, gratitude to our parents remains a first and fundamental theme. Gratitude to Almighty God, who gave us life and truth and the ability to learn. Gratitude to our parents, who are our first teachers in life. And then gratitude, of course, to the educational institutions. And I want to add my thanks here, as the graduates do, to the teachers, to the administration, and other staff of our wonderful educational institutions across this country, whether you go to a religiously affiliated school or a public school. I myself went to public schools all through grade school and high school until I went into seminary in college. But whatever type of school you go to, again, we want to thank those who have helped in your studies. I want to encourage you, graduates, keep in touch. Keep in touch with those on the faculty or in the leadership of your schools that you feel that you want to communicate with as the years go on, because it's first of all such a great source of satisfaction to them. It's a way of saying thank you to let them know of your progress as the years go on. And it will also keep you rooted and grounded as you go on in life. We not forget where we came from. We not forget the past. That's one of the reasons that yearbooks are so valuable. Be sure to keep your yearbook. Don't lose it. And similarly, keep in touch to whatever extent you are able to with those teachers who perhaps were closest to you or most influential in your education. That's so, so meaningful to them, and it will be meaningful to you as well. I want to share with you, first of all, that the gospel here tells you about your identity in Christ. You know your identity now in terms of the educational phase of your life that you have just completed, and you may have gotten a degree of some kind, a diploma, indicating what you've accomplished. The readings, both the first one in which we have the proclamation of the gospel in these various regions where the apostles and their associates went, or as Jesus is saying, you know, I am going to be with you. You are going to be able to call on me even though I am leaving the earth, and we'll be celebrating this Sunday, the ascension of our Lord. He leaves physically human form from his disciples. They see him go up, and yet he remains with us. How? He remains with us through his Spirit, which he sends, and that's going to be the Feast of Pentecost a week from Sunday. He remains with us in his word, in his church, in his ministers of the gospel. He remains where two or three are gathered in his name. He is with us, and he asks us to be aware of that presence and then to ask the Lord for the things that we need, because he wants to give those to us even more than we want them. And that's so important as we look to whatever the next phase of our lives or our service to the church and to the community might be. We need, as we look ahead, to know that we can rely on that grace of God. God never gives us a task that he doesn't always give us the grace to achieve. This gospel gives us the confidence to take hold of that promise. Now, flowing from that and preparing for the next phase of your education and of your life, I want to urge three simple things. First of all, dear graduates, be sure that you continue to learn how to think. One of the most important things about education, along with the actual things that we learn, the information that we master, is a training in how to think. Because no matter how many years of school you've been through, you can only cover a certain fraction of the knowledge that is out there to gain. We all only cover a certain fraction even throughout our lives. But to learn how to think is even more valuable and crucial. Our lives are surrounded at all times. We are immersed in all kinds of logical fallacies. We are immersed in every sort of failure to think at all, or with examples of how people are just thinking incorrectly, making assumptions that they shouldn't make, jumping to conclusions that do not follow from the facts. This is all constantly all around us. Let me give you one example pertaining to my work in the pro-life movement. You know, we in this ministry of Priests for Life are focused on bringing an end to the tragedy of abortion. And one of the people that I came to know very well in this whole work was the woman who was actually the Supreme Court plaintiff in the case of Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion throughout pregnancy. Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, was someone I knew well, and I was a spiritual guide to her, a friend for 22 years, and I brought her into the Catholic Church. So recently there was a documentary done, there's been many documentaries done about her, and in this one there was a big, very, very big logical fallacy that was being picked up in recent days in the media. And the logical fallacy, and it was also a factual fallacy, sounded like this, that Norma, after she became Christian, she became pro-life, and repudiated her involvement in the abortion industry and her role in the Roe v. Wade decision, was then being paid by pro-life organizations. Well, she was going around speaking and invited to talk at conventions and banquets and so forth. So, of course, when you do that, when you bring in a speaker, you know, you pay their airfare, accommodations, meals, you give them a stipend for their speaking. It's only the right thing to do, and as any professional speaker knows. And the logical fallacy that ended up getting promoted was that she converted because of the money. So she converted, got paid for the work that she did, and then the logical fallacy of saying, well, therefore it was the cause or the reason or the motive for her conversion. And there's no evidence of that whatsoever. What's so completely amazing is how many people just jump to that conclusion. The fact that you're paid doesn't mean that that's the reason you believe what you do. Priests get paid salary. Does that mean they don't believe the gospel that they get paid to preach? It's such a logical fallacy, and this is where we have to be careful. Because whether it's in this arena that we're talking about now or any other aspect of life, if we don't know how to think, we're going to be sucked into all kinds of bizarre conspiracy theories and slanders of other people's reputations and drawn into battles and silly disputes that we shouldn't be wasting time on. Learn how to think. Value the gift of reason and logic that God has given to the human mind. That's a skill that your education is meant to develop, meant to show you how to develop, and then you continue developing that all your life long, along with gathering information or learning how to gather facts and so forth. The second thing I want to urge you graduates today as a lesson for life, learn how not to judge. Not to jump to rash judgment. Just as people often jump to illogical conclusions about things, and again, we see this constantly in the media especially, they and social media is another arena where we see a lot of this. Besides not jumping to illogical conclusions, neither must we jump to rash judgments. And I think this is one of the most commonly committed sins in our world and in our church today. Rash judgment. Snapshot thinking. We hear one thing bad about somebody or we see them do something that might not be so great. And it's like our mind takes a snapshot of that. And then that defines the whole person. We never consider anything about why that's happening or anything else that they may have said or done or any way that they might have changed as time went on. We freeze them in time and we freeze them in our mind and we forever define them. We put them in a frame. We put them in a box and they never have a chance to get out of it because we've judged them. Be careful of rash judgment. Let me give you an example. And despite any political differences that people might have with our president, many people love him, of course, and support him. But President Trump, you know, one of the policies that he has been advancing is that our country needs strong borders. And of course, many, many Americans support that fact that we need strong borders. Okay, and the president has pointed out that unless we have strong borders, one of the negative effects of that is that criminals end up coming across the border, don't get properly vetted, and then are a threat to our communities, to our families, to our children, to our peace and security. Now, again, this is a problem, and people can disagree about what's the best way to address that problem, and people of goodwill can disagree on what type of security we need, what process should be employed in bringing immigrants into our country. But it is a rash judgment when someone hears the president saying that we have got to do something about criminal aliens coming across the border. It is a rash judgment to then label him as a racist or anti-immigrant. Brothers and sisters, and this is connected with my first point, learn how to think. The one doesn't follow from the other. Wanting a strong border does not mean you're racist. Recognizing that some people who want to come across the border are criminals and pose a threat doesn't mean that you're against immigration. It doesn't mean that you have anything against the people that want to enter our country. It doesn't mean that you don't want them to come. It means exactly what it says, that you want to protect the people from violent criminals. So we have to be careful. Again, this is not about what position one might take politically. This is about how we think. This is about how we process and evaluate the things that are going on around us. We won't succeed in life in making a good contribution to our society and to our church if we let our minds be uncritical, lazy, and drawn into rash judgment. And the third thing I want to urge you, besides think clearly, learn not to judge, here's the third thing. Learn to be passionate. Don't just take a position. Fight for it passionately. This is part of who we are as human beings. You heard the first reading. In fact, all through the Easter season, we're reading from the Acts of the Apostles. You read through the Acts of the Apostles, you see passion. You don't just see, you know, Paul and Apollos and these other people standing up and saying, oh, well, hey, everybody, let me tell you about Jesus. Those of you that want to listen, gather around, and we're going to give a lesson about Jesus. Wasn't like that. Says they preached boldly. They went into the towns and cities, and even when people didn't want to hear them, they stood up with authority and they said, listen, everybody, God Almighty has given us a plan of salvation, and it has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and here's what you must do. They preached decisively. Here's what you must do. Repent and be baptized right now, everybody, for forgiveness of your sins, and here's the way of God. The reading told us today they were instructing people accurately in what the way of the Lord, the way of God. In other words, it's a way of life. There's certain things we don't do. There's other things we do do. There's a way that we serve one another. There's a faith that we believe in and proclaim. And there was passion there. And the passion is evidenced above all in the fact that they were willing to suffer and to die for this faith. The Acts of the Apostles is a great roadmap for us as we engage in commencement. We're doing it in the Easter season. Acts of the Apostles are being read. And what do we see? We see these apostles being locked up in prison and scourged, whipped, and punished and ordered not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. And what do? They go out and preach and teach anyway, and then they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for such a great reason, for such a great name as Jesus Christ. Be passionate about what you believe. If it's true, if it matters, then let's act like it, and let's talk like it, and let's sacrifice for it, and let's jump up and down about it, and let's proclaim it from the rooftops. Let's not be ashamed, and let's not be afraid. That's my admonition to you, brothers and sisters. Because you know what? That's how things change. On our team here at Priests for Life, we have Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. And she's going around with us and proclaiming that the civil rights movement of today is the pro-life movement, and that the most important issue is abortion, and that the most important group of people that need our biggest amount of help are the ones that are the most helpless, the children in the womb. And she does that passionately, but she makes it clear, look, my uncle, my dad, because her father was Martin Luther King's brother, they didn't just proclaim civil rights. They didn't just preach about it. They were passionate to the point that they put everything on the line. Everything. And they were both killed for their civil rights stance. So must we be ready, not only to suffer, but to give our very lives, if necessary, for the things we believe in. Graduates of the class of 2020, this point in our history now, it is more important than ever to be able to learn how to think, to be able to learn not to pass rash judgment, to be able to learn to be passionate, and to know that all of this can be accomplished and is accomplished because we are in Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, and He is in us, and He has promised us that what we ask the Father in His name, He will give us. You want to be a saint? He's going to make you a saint. You want to really change the world? Ask and you shall receive. It will be done for you. Mark my words. You will change the world in ways bigger than you ever dare imagine or hope. Let nothing dampen your enthusiasm. Let nothing dilute your conviction. Let nothing distract you from what you believe. Live it, act on it, give everything for it, and know that that is the way of the Lord Jesus, the way to happiness and to eternal salvation. Congratulations once again, class of 2020.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.